My name is Jeffrey James Skatska. Education is very important to me. Learning, I think, is paramount. And in Pedro, I think I found somebody, three or four years ago who understood that. That meant the mentality of each one teach one, and really sort of setting goals for oneself to reach out into the community and teach and express through the spoken audio, spoken word, poetry, performance art, music.
I'm Pedro Harkin. I believe in living life to the fullest. I believe in friendship, loyalty, and family. And I believe a lot in the free expression and the art. So when I met Jeffrey, like you said, like 4 or something years back, we very much connected on that level, that we felt this about family and friendship. And we pretty much connected on the fact that we were both artists trying to do that, express and live life.
Well, do you guys know how Torn Asunder actually happened? Well, a couple of years ago, I saw you perform at 620 together and was very taken by your energy, your sensuality, your articulateness, but you scared me because I'm a white, middle-aged man. And I thought I was going, this was maybe 2 years ago, and I thought I'd maybe offer you a commission, but then I chickened out. And there's always so much going on in St. Pete anyhow, I didn't want to make my life any more complicated than it was. By chance, about a year and a half ago, I walked into the University of Southern Florida's St. Pete bookstore. And Peter, yeah. I was having coffee with Peter Kajiyama, who was head of Creative Tampa Bay at the time. And you happened to walk in, Pedro.
Right, I remember that.
And Peter yelled out, "Hey, what's happening, Pedro, man?" And I said, "Oh, Peter knows Pedro, so maybe Pedro might be okay after all." And by chance, I went to get a cup of coffee, and there was a barista, or whatever you call him there, a coffee soda jerk, and I think his name was Jeffrey James. Was that correct, Jeff? And it was all serendipity, and I said, okay, I don't believe in any of this synchronicity stuff, but hell, if Peter says they're okay, they're both here, I'd been thinking about it for a year, what the hell, why not give it a shot? And that was the genesis of this whole Torn Asunder project.
Man, well, I'm very, very delighted that you did eventually, let me get past scaring you.
One of the things I was concerned about working with young expressive men is that you wouldn't follow any instructions or boundaries. How did you feel when I said you could not mention the word George Bush, Iraq War, Vice President Cheney, use any swear words, cuss words, or any kind of sexual expletives?
All you did was add an extra little couple of, exercises for us. It's kind of just one of those things, because we're freestyling anyways. All we have to do is, put little certain, boundaries and work within those parameters. And it's actually just a little extra challenge. We do all kinds of shows. I do shows for kids. So when I go into a school and I'm performing for children, I have to edit myself for that. And it's just an extra challenge to always keep that in mind, even though I'm opening myself to speak freely. At the same time, I'm somewhere aware of what those boundaries are for the audience that I'm aiming to. I am a performance poet after all, so I do consider audience.
Jeff, how do you feel? How did you feel about that?
I felt like it was interesting because it gave you a point of focus, and taking out all the obvious mentionings that would be associated with the state of the nation torn asunder. It helped you get to the root of. These problems are not necessarily George Bush or Dick Cheney, or it's a huge dichotomy of misdeeds and misdoings and misunderstandings, and it's not just the collective work of two men.
Right, absolutely.
It was hard for me to explain to you guys that my personal colleague, who we've made many, many award-winning videos together, that I just can't order him to work. on a project, and it was a hard concept for you to get that I had to sell it to Dave. You want to give some of your thinking about it, Dave?
Sure. The process of working with Bob has always been on, he's presented me the general concept and sometimes some narration or some music, and he's kind of presented it to me in a way, check it out, see what you think about it. If you think you can get into it and have fun with it, I'd love you to have you work on it. And I guess a little bit of, because there's budget limitations or whatever, I had a little trade-off where I work in an animation studio full-time. So certainly there's fixed rates or whatever, but I love working on Bob's projects so much. This is my independent time that I work with Bob. I do it on my own time. And if I've learned to assert myself a little bit more, because if I lose my spirit for what I'm working on, and you guys certainly gave me a lot to work with, and I'll be honest with you, at first I didn't feel comfortable with the poetry performance. I'm 56, close to Bob's age, but I gave it a chance and I listened to it a number of times, and I started to get, I thought, the gist of what you're trying to say in your poetry. And even if it wasn't exactly the same thing, I started to visualize things. And once I got into it, I got over that hump, and I actually thought, well, it's good to take me, like we say, out of our comfort range and see what comes out. And it was hard. This was the first one that I had thought about turning down with Bob. It all worked out.
Hey, the video came out great, so you did an awesome job with that.
Oh, thanks.
Well, one of the peculiar things about the video is that I had never relinquished the right to write the words. I come from a Jewish tradition, which is a very strong written tradition. Everything is about the word, as opposed to a more Christian tradition where there's a lot about the image. And I had never relinquished the right to let somebody else say things in my video. I felt I took a very big risk, and it was a risk that I was not really comfortable with. I'm not 60 years old, but I'm within spitting distance of 60. I'm 58 and a half. I have a reputation as a certain image. This was not part of my image. And I felt that I didn't know what was really going to happen. And once I made it, I didn't know whether I was going to try to distribute it through the international film circuit. But I decided that we made it, and I started putting the thing out, and it started winning in the darndest places. And a couple of the places were pretty big deals. The short circuit that is sponsored by the Southern Federation of the Arts, Torn Asunder is going to be traveling, I think, to 8 or 12 major venues throughout the South. It won at one of the hippest places in the world, which is the 42nd or 43rd annual Brooklyn International Film Festival. It got picked up by Washington Independent Film Festival. A number of places. So it surprised me where it won and that it won.
When you were developing this process, what was in your head? Did you know what was going to come out if you presented it like here's the images and here's the order of the images, and now you manifest the collage with the words. I mean, was that your intent?
It was a game of chance. I gave you guys, if you remember, I think 54 images.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I said, pick the ones that interest you. I don't remember giving you the order. I don't think that I did. But
No. We said that. Yeah. And we went through all the photos or the artwork.
What
and
I was
we picked the ones, and then we just kind of, you know.
What I essentially was, I gave you a Rorschach test. I wanted to see what was inside your subconscious.
What you got back was anywhere like what went through your mind when you created the work, or was it completely different?
Completely different. Those images were part of what I'm known for is the success of my post-Holocaust videos, my post-Holocaust art that's gone all over the world, that a good, for the last 35 years, part of my artwork, maybe half of it, has dealt with the Holocaust. Those were subconscious images that came from Eastern Europe. And they were not really images that were about contemporary experience. And that what I didn't know if the metaphors would translate.
Bob gave me the images. Sometimes some of the things I visualized I could see in his paintings. And that's what combined them, if it was the backyard and it was kind of a vertical imagery, the fence post or whatever, I tried to, you know, even though they weren't directed that way by his paintings, I would utilize them when I combined them with some of the photo imagery. So I am kind of finding hints subconsciously from the hints from what Bob painted, connecting them with things that you were saying and reciting or in the poetry.
So was that, didn't any time that either one of you have a hard time digesting what was being sung or said or spoken about?
Can I tell you, I didn't understand it. And I went by faith, is that one of the reasons I did this is that my audience tends to be people roughly over the age of 45 to 50. My audience is not you. So I thought what would be interesting was to take part of my creativity, the DNA of my subconscious, and to see if you could translate it into language that would speak to young people. I didn't know who Nemo was in the thing. My wife had to explain a part of the video to me. And so I produced it.
That's awesome. That's the behind the scenes stuff right
and
there.
One of the things, I was in an accident in July of 91 up in Colorado. I have very severe ringing in the ears. It's called tinnitus. And I have it virtually all the time. So I don't hear everything. So I basically couldn't understand a lot of what was being said. So I just took it on faith that it was good. And I sent it to Dave. He did something with it.
And I listened very closely because I needed some keys. I could, after listening a number of times, I picked up the frustration and the anger. I live in the city of Rochester, New York, that's really struggling. So I tried to take some of my knowledge that I know from living in the city, even though I'm an old white guy. I feel a lot of the frustration that I felt you guys expressing, and that's possibly why there is a shot of at least a couple of shots of George Bush, even though Bob had told me, no, George Bush, take that out of there. I said, well, how can I say? It seems right at that moment it was directed at some group, and he was maybe a recognizable one, and then singing about Son, I couldn't resist putting George Sr. there holding the cute little George Bush and saying,
Right.
What do you
mean? And the quality of having just images like this gives, you know, the contemporary fashion, I think that Pedro and myself, poetically speaking, attach ourselves to is like the idea of ellipticism, telling the story with images. Solely images to create, you know, to create a non-traditional narrative. We created a non-traditional narrative using, thoughts, images to work off of. And it was interesting, I think, for ourselves poetically as artists.
Absolutely. It's always great to keep art alive by responding to it. And this is one of my favorite things about this project. It was a response to a response to a response.
Mm-hmm.
It has like almost like three layers of response in there. You know,
where we were at that moment, like with the frustration and with the way we wanted to portray it and be perceived. It's something that it's hard to recreate.
And
I don't know if it should be recreated.
Where are you guys now?
With our art, physically?
Or? Yeah. Are you torn asunder?
I think been torn asunder for a while. I'm actually in preparations to leave the country, try to change my condition since the condition around me is not changing.
Do you want to mention why you're leaving America for Nicaragua?
A couple things. I want a calmer lifestyle. I'm expecting a baby, and my wife feels a lot more comfortable in a place where there's free healthcare. and we don't have to worry about being in debt forever because no insurance company wants to accept her after she's already pregnant. My school got shut down, so I don't really have insurance to add her to anymore. So, you know, a lot of things over there. With minimal money, you can live there very comfortably. And without all of the material things always being flashed in your face, that doesn't call really for a great upbringing.
Well, that's a nice thing to say, Pedro. What about you, Jeff? Where are you? Are you still torn asunder?
I am. I'm at this point in my life where I'm finishing one phase and then slowly, not even slowly, very rapidly moving into the next phase. And it's, you know, part of myself is still in that old phase, and then there's the part that went running into this new phase. So I'm literally split in half, trying to figure out, you know, how does a young artist make his way in the world, especially in a post 9/11 world, in a world, you know, of pressure with violence and drugs and over sexualization, and you know, what to do with myself at this point as a 20-something.